Matthew 27, verse 55-0. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. The ministry of Jesus, as always I say, that the ministry of Jesus have started with prayer and it entered up in prayer. We have the Bethel prayer tower in the full swing this evening over here. So the ministry have started with prayer, the ministry have entered with prayer. But little more further, when I was going to the Word of God, I could sense it. I could sense it. It was not just the prayer what I can see in Luke chapter 4 and ending in Matthew chapter 28. It's not just that, you know, prayer. More than that, from the beginning of the ministry till the end of the ministry, Jesus had the cry. And that is my topic this evening time. The cry that we can never forget. That is the topic this evening time. The cry which we can never forget. In the wilderness, he started up with a battle. It was not an easy battle, as I said many times in the church. It was not an easy battle. For 40 days, he was fasting and praying. I don't know, he had water. We don't have any evidence or proof, you know, on that. He was fasting, he was praying, but still he was suffering. Many times you and me have asked the same question. God, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm trying to be close with you, but still I am in this battle. Till when can this battle go? Till when you will allow me to go through it? Till when I am inside it? When can I come out of this battle? I'll tell you something this evening. Don't be angry with me. Your battle will finish when your mission is completed. Until the mission completes, you are in the battle. And if any pastor or any anointed so-called preacher came to you and said in this way, hey, no, your battle is for some time, you know. And just say that, no, my battle is till the last minute because I am in a mission. As, I don't know, I said over here, when I'm in a mission, I am called and specified by God. You know, the same time I'm targeted by Satan. But I have a good news for you. Even though I am targeted, I am going to come out of this with the glorious way. Hallelujah! Even my Jesus have started with cry. He started with cry. He ended up with cry. But that was not the end of the story. He came out of glorious. And he is now, when I'm preaching the word of God, he is seated on the right hand side of the Father. And he is still interceding for you and me this evening time. So your cry is not the end of your life. Your cry is just for the battle, but you are going to come out of the battle. If someone is here this evening time who is suffering in any kind of battle, maybe it's a work pressure, maybe it's a business pressure, maybe it's a family pressure, maybe it's something related to your children, job, anything about your future, say, I am in the battle, that's fine, but I'm going to come out of it gloriously. Amen. Jesus has started his ministry with cry. What was that cry? In that battlefield. His time was, you know, he was not afraid of what he was going to do. He knows what he is going to do. He knows in which way he is going to be, you know, heading. He knows what is going to be the future. But still, you know, was when he was concerned about the timing, it's just 3.5 years of time that I have to accomplish everything for what I have come. And it is not an easy way. So he was concerned on the timing. And he had to, you know, listen very carefully this many times. When God is giving you a mission, it has a timing. He will never give you a mission without any timing. Every God's plan has a timing. But when you try to get out of, you know, that way, the time stretches and God's timing is getting delayed because of our less understanding. And this evening time, the Lord is speaking to me right now as a prophetical word to the church. If somebody is there, is trying to make delay the God's purpose, you are in trouble. 40 days was enough for the Israelites to reach to Canaan, but they took 40 years because of their behavior in the wilderness. Let's focus on the word this evening time. The cry what Jesus made when he was walking to the cross. In Luke chapter 23 verses 34, I need people to be with me to read from the word of God. I'll be focusing. If you want to write it down, please write it down, because I'm not going to explain a lot, but I'm going to specifically give you some points so that you can learn from the word of God. Luke chapter 23 verse 34. We see the first cry is a cry to forgive. I'm focusing from the word yef. This evening time. F is the word this evening. The first cry in Luke chapter 23 verse 34 is the forgiving cry. And Jesus said, Jensen, are you with me? Where is the mic? You have to read the word. Okay, Luke 23:34, it says, and Jesus said, Father,
forgive them.
Forgive them.
For they do not know
what they are doing.
And they divided his garments. And cast lots.
Amen. Praise God. When Jesus was heading to the cross, when Jesus was on the time of the big tragedy, he was on the time of the great pain. He started with prayer and now he is ending up with prayer. And what he was exercising was just purely the grace of the Heavenly Father. He was exercising the grace of the Father God. And he was telling, forgive them what they are. They don't know what they are doing. And he was actually crying. He was crying to the Father, forgive them. And I know that many of, when I'm speaking this word, something is getting connected to me. That many things what you have not done, when people focus on you, when people point out to you, when people say that you have done it, when we have not done it, we feel like, okay, you know, I have not done it. Now how come they can point out unto me and say that I have done it? Many times we feel like loneliness. But Jesus is proving this evening time, when people are going to point out to you, when people are going to say negative to you, the Lord is teaching us one story, like, I have forgiven them. That is the same spirit which is given to us. It is not the spirit of arrogance. It is not the spirit of angry. It is not the spirit of being on the top and to exercise the anointing to overrule them. It is the humbleness of forgiving things. It was not an easy thing for Jesus to forgive, because those who are beating him, those who are taking off his dress, those who are spitting at him, those who were making him, in trouble, they were all created by God. It was not an easy thing to forgive, but it says, forgive them. Jesus was pleading to Father God, forgive them, and he was crying for them. That's why he is here in this earth, to forgive them. And this evening time, when I'm preaching the word of God, maybe, in the past, you have done things which cannot be forgiven. You have done certain things that you will not never ever get a pardon from anyone. But God is here this evening time to give you forgiveness. If you have done it wrong, Jesus is telling you, I'm ready to forgive you. Maybe the past is taunting you. Maybe the past is eating you. Maybe the past is taking off all the confidence what you have. But God says, I'm ready to forgive you this evening time. But one more thing, let me add, when he forgives, never do it again. Because when you do it again, you make him pain. You give him more pain. When he is ready to forgive, exercise the forgiveness. So the first cry was to forgive for what they are. They do not know what they are doing. In Luke chapter 23 verses 43, if you're there with me, Luke chapter 23 verse 43. It says the second cry was a favoring cry. It was a favoring cry, the second cry. It is a favoring cry. And Jesus said to him.
Assuredly I say to you.
Assuredly I say to you.
Today you will be with me in paradise.
Hallelujah. It was a favoring cry. The one who is with him on the cross is the one who have sinned. He has done wrong thing in his life. But look unto Jesus, who is ready to give the remission of the sin. He was ready even not just to forgive. Rather, he was ready to favor. Even without getting a baptism, that guy was easy access to paradise. Some of them, you know, ask me this question, you know, what is the necessary of a baptism? There is no need of baptism because the thief on the cross was not baptized. Buddy, he never got a chance to come down and do the baptism. You know, that's why he was not baptized. You are not in that way now. When you get a chance to be baptized, you need to be baptized. Don't hold on the thief. He is already in the heaven. Now you are on the way to hell. Get opportunity. Use opportunity. And make sure that your eternity is fixed by the favor of Jesus Christ. The one who was on the cross, he was not getting chance to be baptized. But look unto the cry of that man. You know, I have done sin. What does that man say? That is the love of Jesus Christ. He was ready to admit his sin. Many times, do you know why you are not forgiven? Because you are not ready to admit what you have done. But the one who was forgiven was ready to admit. I admit I am a sinner, but I know that you have not done it. Look, you know, how he recognized Jesus Christ. And that was the favor he got from the cry of Jesus Christ. Look into the Jesus now very, very carefully. He came to this earth. He came with a mission. He have accomplished the mission. He have done, you know, walking and doing miracles and manifestation. He have done a lot of things throughout the ministry. But that was not the ministry. Manifestation was part of ministry. Healing the sick was part of ministry. Casting out the demons was part of ministry. Preaching was part of the ministry. But that was not the ministry. Ministry was that giving himself for the mankind. And look unto the Jesus, he was ready to favor the man who was asking forgiveness. Now this evening time, this is the good news what I have. If you're ready to ask forgiveness, what that mean? That means that you need to be humble and simple to realize that I am nothing and I'm a sinner. When you ask forgiveness, he is ready to forgive you. And it's not just that forgiveness. He is giving you an assurity. This time I went to the bank. You know, I need some cash. So I went to the bank. I got a, you know, one family have given me a check, dollar check. So I just went to the bank to, you know, encash it, to purchase the check. So, you know, after me going, you know, I don't go to the bank as such, you know, normally we use the ATM. So when I went to the bank, it happened in India. So what he said, like, sir, thank you so much for coming. How are you doing? I said, I'm good. Sir, would you like to do some investment? Sir, would you like to do, can you do some fixed deposit this month? And he is there to, you know, put his target. He has some target. He need to accomplish the target. So he is just, you know, look, you know, what I'm trying to connect here is when Jesus have promised, the man who said to me, sir, can you put, you know, money for 5 years? It's going to, you know, I don't know, double or something. I don't know. He said something. And I was least bothered to hear all those things because I'm not there to do it. So, you know, he said, okay, you know, can you do it? So we give you a, he cannot give us an assurity. But look at him, Jesus, who was on the cross, said, you know, today you will be with me on the paradise. He assured it and it happened. The world's assurity is not an assurity. It can change. But look at the word of Jesus Christ. When he said, you will be with me, that means you will be there with him in the paradise. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, it says that we were actually, you know, not righteous. We were not up to that mark. We were not the people who were, you know, holy as we have sung that. So I just love that song. We were not holy, but look unto the, you know, the righteousness of God. By the grace you have been saved through faith and not by yourself. It is the gift of God, not by the work, lest anyone should boast. That means that is the same song which we have sung. We don't have anything to boost ourselves. It is just his forgiveness have favored us to get him to the paradise. When you have the privilege to stretch your hands, you know, to the Lord's table, it is God's righteousness to you. It is not your righteousness. He made you righteous. It is not your holiness. He made you holy. It is not your perfectness. He made you perfect. You know, what he called you, you are my children. It is not my, you know, you are not just my friend. I hope you remember that sermon. You are not just my friend, but rather you are my child. That means I'm giving you a favor to be with me. And how many of you are exercising the favor of God this evening time? So we have received forgiveness from God. We have received the favor from God. Now listen very carefully. I was just thinking, you know, Jesus was actually on the spiritual mission over here. Are you there with me? Jesus was actually on the spiritual mission in this world. But when he was accomplishing the spiritual mission, he was bothered about even his family, on the earthly family. Did he ever realize that? I never realized it. I'm telling the truth. Because I was always focusing on the ministry, the spiritual aspect of Jesus. But you know, when on the way to the cross, when he saw Mary, he said a good news. I just want to share that to you. Can you turn your attention to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 25 onwards. Are you there? John, chapter 19. The third cry was a family cry. The third cry was a family cry. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Are you there? There comes his family, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife. Okay. And verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." What does that mean? When Jesus was heading to the cross, when he saw his mother, he was concerned. He was crying for the mother who was crying for him. And he, you know, Jesus conveyed the message to John. John, from today you are going to take care of my mom. Verse 27. And then he said to the disciple is John. Listen very carefully. Look into Jesus' cry towards even his earthly family. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." What is it? That is a transition happening now. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I hope you are with me this evening. I was excited when I was learning the word of God. You know, the transition is happening. He says, now here it goes. In my mission to her, it is over. I am heading to the cross. I am getting to heaven. Now I am giving you a mission. Now you hold her tight. Because behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own. Look into the love of Jesus Christ. It was not just a love towards everyone. His love was very specific. Even the one who was with him for 30 plus years, he was even bothered about her. Many times when, you know, when mission comes, when you ministry comes, we are least bothered about the family. But on the tight schedule towards the cross, even he was bothered about his mom. He was ready to hand over to John to take care of the mom. And do you know what Bible says? Disciple took Mary to his own home. That means from that day, Mary was staying with John. The cry which forgives. The cry which always give us a favor. The cry even towards the family. Family. The fourth cry. Matthew chapter 27 verse 46. Matthew 27 46. The fourth cry is the forsaken cry. Look unto the word. Then he realized Barabbas to them. He released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The next verse, please, 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into Praetorium and gathered them, the whole garrison around him. The next verse, 28. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Jesus was actually... I need you to connect me to the next verse also, on to verse 46. You know, there comes the connection completely. 46 with 28. Go to 46 too. Yes. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. This is my God, my God. Why have you... The fourth cry is a forsaken cry. He came into this world to do the purpose of the one who have sent him. That was the Father. But on the last minute, when he was heading to the cross, even his Father was not bothered on what he was going. Even though their concern was there, but he was allowed to go through it. Can I speak to you something this evening time? There are times, sister, when I'm releasing the word right now, that the word comes to me, there are times that God allows us to go through certain situations. It doesn't mean that he is not seeing it. It doesn't mean that he doesn't know it. It doesn't mean that he is least bothered about it. But God says, I am concerned about you, but I am allowing you to go through it. Because it is my plan that you should go through it. When you go through it, you will come out of it. And when you come out of it, you come out with a result. I hope I'm speaking to someone this evening time. If it is a word to you, just grab it on this evening time. God says when God allows you to go through it, there are certain times he forsakes us. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is in control of everything. But he allows it. Did I say that word to you? He allows it. When I'm speaking, I see a number 50% to 60%, what I'm seeing right now, 50 to 60% of people have gone through this situation. There are times that we felt God allowed us to go through it. But I can assure you one word this evening time, you will come out of it. Can you say that word with me, please? I will come out of it. If Jesus have come out of it, I'm going to come out of it. Because God has forsaken me for a definite purpose. Amen. The purpose is not to, you know, shatter me. The purpose is not to put me on shame. The purpose is not to, you know, put me on suffering. The purpose is to make me much more glorious. You know, in Philippians it says Jesus was lifted up on the high. How? Because he went through all those processes. Look under the cross. We feel like he was forsaken. He have never have done any sin. He never tasted sin. He have never gone through it. But still the Father was ready to forsake him. There was a timing in heaven and the earth when the father-son relationship was disconnected for a few hours. Few hours. Did I say disconnection? Disconnected. Father and son relation. It's not the relation. The connection was disconnected. Because father, till that time, the father was insisting what to do and what not to do. But that time when Jesus was praying, you know, if he can take the cup, just take it off. And father was not ready to listen to that. Even Jesus had, you know, the decision. He could take the decision. But both of them have disconnected in that connection. Listen very carefully. I thank God for that disconnection. Because of that disconnection, you are connected to Christ. If that disconnection was not happened, you have been, you know, never going to be here this evening time. Thank God for that disconnection. That disconnection was not forever. You know, it was for a connection to make you and me connected to God the Father. And Jesus was ready to be forsaken. Forsaken. Do you know where Jesus was judged? Jesus was not judged actually in front of the Pilate. Jesus was judged on the cross. Because what he have went on the cross was what he have never done it. He have never sinned it. He was not he was not wrong in anything. He was judged purely on the cross. That judgment was taken so that you will be called righteous. Look unto the cross this evening time. As we are going to be the partakers of the Lord's table, the judgment of years was taken, you know, when Jesus was on that cross. Even he was not sinned, he was not doing anything wrong, but he was judged purely on the cross, and he was forcefully given all those sins, what you have, me have done and are doing. He was forsaken. And that cry, how many of you felt in your life that you are forsaken? Maybe for silly, silly things. Oh, my friend have done that to me. I trusted him a lot, but he have done. Many times we feel, and we have cried a lot because of, you know, silly, silly forsakening thing. But this is not a silly thing. This is a serious thing. That disconnection was for your connection. He have cried because he was forsaken. He never wanted it. He never wanted it. But he took it for you and me. That shows the agape, the love. How much he loved us. I was ministering in two weddings in India. And I was speaking about love. And the pure love is the unconditional love. That it is not what you're going to give, is what I'm going to give you back. Our love is always conditioned. Husband, if you're loving me, if you're doing that, I will do it back. If you're not going to, I'm least bothered. Kalivelli, go. That is our love. But do you know what is God's love? If you're not doing it also, he says, that's fine. I still love you. I love you as you are. It's not I love you as I want you to be. It is I love you as you are. I know that it is difficult to change. I know that you are not so flexible. I know that you are taking little more time than I am expected. But still, I am ready to love you. Because I was forsaken to get your love. When I was thinking it, you know, that made me cry. My system has condition, but God's system has never that condition. He have never tasted sin, but he took our sin. Knowingly and by his willingly, he took our sin. fifth one. I see a fervent cry on that cross. John 19, verse 28. A fervent cry on that cross. John 19, 28. After this, Jesus,
knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst.
Did you read the last word? I? The one who made water was craving for a little water on that cross. Listen very carefully, please. I love the connection in the scripture. The one who made water was thirsting for water on that cross. And the one who was thirsting for water said, those who are, you know, thirsty, come unto me and drink the living water. He went to the heavens without tasting the physical water of this world, so that the spiritual water will be released for you. He tried to get a drop of water for his thirst as his physical body was exhausted. His physical, many times as ministers of God, even we do the work of God. Many people come to me and ask me, Pastor, are you not tired of traveling? Are you not tired of doing ministry like this, busy in a busy schedule? I will tell you guys, there are times that I am so down, but I never show that up. You know, when I'm down, I do what I can is to sit in the presence of God to get some more energy. I know that he was craving for a drop of water. You and me can sustain without food, but it's not easy to sustain without water. The one who have made water, the one who can hold the entire water in his hand, was asking for a drop of water on that cross. And do you know what they have given? They have given the vinegar-like drink, what we cannot never have it. But he promised us one thing. That's fine. I am thirsty, but I will never allow you to be thirsty. I am thirsty physically, but I can assure you that you will be never thirsty physically and spiritually. He promised us, you will never be thirst on your physical area as well as on the spiritual area. He said, I'm promising you that you will have abundant life by drinking of this water. That's why I just love Psalms, you know, in Psalms 42, it says, as the deer panteth for that water. That's the way that I am craving to have the living water from God. But this God was asking for a drop of water on that cross. I thirst. Listen very carefully. He thirsted because of you. He thirsted because of me. If we were righteous people, he never wanted to go through it. He went it because we were not righteous. We were sinners. He thirsted because of me, because of you. But he promised us, I will never allow you to be thirsty anymore. I'm giving you the spiritual water that will accomplish all your physical as well as the spiritual need. If you can connect me, John chapter 4 verse 14. And if you can connect me, Revelation chapter 22 verse 17. Thank you so much. John chapter 4, 14. Yeah, can you read it for me, please?
But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst.
Never thirst.
But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water.
My God, it is going to become, it is going to be, you know, be a fountain of water springing up into the everlasting. That means it's not a temporary. Jesus was asking for a temporary drop of water. But when he gave us the water, he said it is an everlasting water. He proved his fervent cry. It's a fervent cry. I thirsted, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. 22, 17.
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.
Listen, the next word. Jesus was actually asking for a drop of water. Now he is giving us freely. That's why, you know, it has a connection in Luke also. You know, those who want to have this water, come. It is given freely. You need not to give any price for it. Because it was a fervent cry. I cried for the water, but I'm giving you the everlasting water that you will never thirst. The next cry, John chapter 19:30. John chapter 19:30. Gospel of John chapter 19:30.
So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished.
It is finished. A cry, which is a finishing cry. This is a finishing cry. He never said, I am finished. Did he say that? I hope you're with me. Did he say that I am finished? What did he say? It is finished. What is that it on it? Come on, guys. Respond to me. The mission. What is the mission? The suffering is finished. The strategy of Satan is finished. The sacrificial system is finished. He says, the power of sin is no more. It is finished. It is done. Telestai is the word it has been used. Telestai means it is done. Finish. He cried so that it will finish. Then how dare the Satan can say that I will drag you forever. He cannot drag us forever. Because once on the cross, he said it is. There was a finishing cry. There was a finishing cry. If I'm taking the root word of that finishing cry, the word finish, who uses that word is mentioned very clearly when I was studying from the dictionary. It says, when a servant who completes the work, he says to the master, it is finished. When a farmer, you know, completes his work on the agricultural land, he says, it is finished. That means nothing to do, no, you know, ahead. It's all done. When soldier says, the war is over, we have accomplished. That means nothing to do more. It is done. The soldier released that word. Merchandise says, you know, there are homeowners says, priest used to say that it is done. I hope you remember that sermon which I made a few weeks before. It is done. It is done. It is not done here. It is finished. That was it is done. But here it is finished. It is accomplished. That was a cry. That the word finished, normally it has to happen with smile. But his finished was happened with tears. Because a long waiting. How many of you remember the last weeks? Do you have that mountain picture? Can just put it very fast. There was a big system in the Bible. There was a big system in the Bible. You see two mountains here. One is Mount Moriah, and the second one is the Mount Calvary. Mount Moriah was the place where Abraham was, you know, giving up his son Isaac. And, you know, God said, oh, okay, let me try you. And he tried Abraham. Abraham was faithful. He was ready to sacrifice his son. But when he was ready to do it, you know, the heaven said, no! To do it. not to do. Why? Abraham, I don't want you to finish that system. Are you there with me? Be with me. I don't want you to complete my mission. My mission is my mission. I'm going to release my son to do it. So just stop that mission there. And what he said on the Calvary, he said, now I'm not saying no to it because I need it to be finished. Telestai. It has to be completely done. And that was a cry. It ended up with a cry. He cried so that he can wipe your tears. He cried so that he can absorb your suffering. He cried. He never wanted you to cry again. That's the love what we are seeing here in this table. He said, don't cry. I have done it. You may say that my sins will never forgive because I have done that. When I went to Zambia, when I was ministering on the jail, there are certain people, they haven't come to me. But the pastor who was ministering there, he said, there are people who come for counseling, those who were for 40, 50 years inside the jail. They come, they cry for hours, telling one thing, we have done that sin. We have wrong. I know that we have done it. And there are a lot of cameras, you know, to absorb what, you know, the counseling session is going on. And they tell very softly so that the camera cannot absorb it. They have done it. But at the cross, he have never done anything. But still he said, it is finished. I took it. He said, I took it. So that you will be righteous this evening. That's why you are with a nice dress this evening. That's why you're looking good. That's why you're smiling. Why? He took it. He said, Telestai, it is. And the last cry. Luke chapter 23 verses 46. One more time. Luke chapter 23 verses 46. There was a farewell cry. There was a farewell cry. Can you read that verse for me, please?
And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last.
Next verse. Can you connect me in with the next verse, please? Yeah, for this.
So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man.
Look those two connections now. There was a farewell cry. What is that farewell cry? It says, Father and Son have broken the relationship now. Because, listen very carefully. I know that I'm telling little deeper, so understand it with me. Now, when he took the sin, the godly nature, because God cannot take sin, that for the split of seconds, he took the physical structure of us and he grabbed all the sin, what he needs to carry. He was disconnected. One more time, I'm telling that word. Disconnected. There was a broken relationship with the Father and Son. Because God, the one who is the Holy One, cannot take the sin. But for the fine time, he was ready to take himself for that split of time to disconnect from the Father God so that he can take that sin in his body. Now he is taking that sin to the Father God to get the sanctification. Look at that process which happened. And he was in the hand of cruel man. He suffered very badly. And the last word which he heard from the one who is close to them, this man is a righteous man. You need not to testify. This is a prophetical word. I'm attaching to it. You need to testify your righteousness. But when you complete God's mission, the righteousness of God will be heard from the surrounding. Oh, are you there with me? Can I prove it? I love to prove from the scripture. When David was heading to Goliath, when he was ready to fight with him, you know, only what he knows is the anointing. Are you there with me? Can I say anointing? That's only what he knows. And he have, you know, beautiful 5 stones. And he don't want those 5. Actually, he just need 1. Just for a, you know, like, you know, when we go to the office, we need only 10 dirhams. But we grab at least 100 bucks to keep, if it is necessary. So he grabbed 5 stones. He know that 1 is just enough. But still he took that 5. Now I don't have anything, you know, to explain about the 5. There are pastors who can say, number 1 stone was that. number 2 stone was, hey, in the Bible there is nothing like that. There is no number 1, number 2. It is just the stones. Okay? It is just the stones. So he, you know, for us, you know, we need to preach a lot. That's why we need to grab 1 stone, 2 stone. Okay. He just took that stone. He just threw that 1 stone. That's it. Now, listen very carefully. He need not to testify who he is. The people around him will testify. Do you know what the people around said? Saul have killed thousands, but David, hello. When you complete God's mission, your surroundings will glorify you. You need not to work to glorify yourself. That is the biggest problem that we have. We love us to be glorified. That's why, hey, come on guys, say that. I have done it. When you say that, God says, come on, shut up. Shut up. It is not you that I have done it. So let me give you the glorification. When God gives us the glorification, that you will be a non-person. Never allow you to be known in the society. Allow God to make you known. You'll not be a normal person anymore. The farewell cry, it says, it is done. And it says, it is completed. He cried throughout Gethsemane. He cried throughout Gabbatha. He cried throughout Kolkata. Everywhere he cried. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Kolkata. Everywhere he cried. You know why? So that you and me will never cry again. What was that cry? It is not for a house. That's not God's business. You are crying for that? It's not God's business. House is God's blessing, yeah. But don't cry for it, man. Cry for your salvation. That is what he has accomplished. House will come. Car will come. Flight will come. Everything is God's promise. Everything have to come. But cry for your life. That is the most important thing. What was the cry? One more time. Let's meditate the word. I just want the worship team to come forward. But the cry was a forgiving cry. He was ready to forgive. Be with me. The second cry, it was a favoring cry. He favored the thief on the cross. The third cry was a family cry. Even though he is in a spiritual mission, he was not, you know, leaving the family on the side. What he did was he, you know, he was ready to know the family situation. And he said to John that, take care of my mom. The fourth one was a forsaken cry. When father said, you know, I'm not going to bother what you are crying for now, but I am allowing you to go through it so that the salvation of the mankind will happen, not by the animal's blood, by the master's, savior's, the Lord's blood. And that is a permanent blood. And it was a fervent cry. It was a fervent cry. What was a fervent cry? He was thirsty for water, a drop of water. But the soldiers was not ready to give a drop of water. They gave him the vinegar, the salty vinegar to drink. They forced him to drink. But he is the one who created water. He could hold the entire universe water in his hand. And he is the one who is still giving the spiritual water. And he said, I'm thirsty. He said, it's a finishing cry. Telestai, it says it is done, it is finished. Because I have done it. Even though the mission is not a simple mission, he wanted us to be close. So what he did was, he was ready to get into the finishing point. He wanted us to be close. He was ready to go to the finishing point. Suffering has entered. That doesn't mean that suffering is not there. Suffering will be there. It can be there. But the sin kind of suffering, it is over. The satanic strategy to destroy us is over. Still, his strategies are there, but he cannot destroy us. Why? Because we are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrificial system, millions and billions of animals were killed. But when he said, it is done, now no more animal will die. It is not just, you know, the salvation for the mankind. For me, it was a salvation for even for the animals, that they should not die again. The sin's power is no more. Just one request, please. Don't activate the power of sin. The power of sin is deactivated by Jesus. But you and me has the authority to activate it by doing the sin. Never allow it. Telestai, it is finished. There was a fervent cry. Says that, now, Father, I have done what you want me to do. Look at that son's joy. Father, I have accomplished what you want me to do. Let me come back to you. Oh, what is it? Now look into the father's face. What will be the father's answer? Oh, my begotten son, thank you so much for doing. It was a long waiting project. Thank you for accomplishing it. Come. Come. And he was seated on the right hand side of the Father God. And he says, now this is your seat. And before Jesus went, he said, when you are with me, I'm going to make you just sit with me. So we are no more audience now. We'll be sitting. Do you know where is my position in heaven? I'll be on the right hand side of the Father God. Did I say that? My position is not among the audience. The audience will be there, someone, I don't know who is there. But my position, I am sure about it. I am on the right hand side of the Father God, because my Jesus is on the right hand side. There was a farewell cry. I have completed what you have said. Let me ask you the last question. Can you ask God, what is your desire for me? What is your desire? CTRR is not just a church. That's why in the beginning I said, we are the body of Christ to do the perfect will of God. Everyone who has seated here, even from Isaac, the little boy, till the end is maybe Brother Anthony. Everyone has assignment. But can you ask God, God, what is my assignment? I'm ready to do that assignment. And can we cry to fulfill the assignment? Can we all stand in the presence of God right now? Let's prepare to the Lord's table right now. Today, Brother Robin and Brother Jensen will be serving, who will be ministering with me to serve the Lord's table. Can we close our eyes right now? Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my Master. Jesus, my everything. Just close your eyes right now. I don't want any eye to be up here right now. He was everything for me. But he was ready to take the pain. He was God. I was asking, when I was meditating the word of God, I was asking, he was God. Why should he cry? Why should he cry? Cry can happen in two ways, either by taking the pain or by rejoicing. But Jesus was not rejoicing when he was crying. He was actually taking the pain to prove. If I said pain, he was proving the love. When he was crying, he was proving his love. He was God. What is his duty to cry? He could come and he could just do his, you know, the plan and what for he's been here. And he could just go back. For me, every step he took with its reality. He wanted to taste what you will taste. He wanted to know what you will go. He wanted to understand the depth of the pain what you're going to take. Yes. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He took the most, you know, the powerful pain. That was the pain to die on the cross. That means he said that there will be no more pain in this world that I should not know. I should know every pain that every mankind is taking. Doctor says that a woman who is pregnant and delivering a baby is the most, you know, painful time. But my Jesus was going through beyond that pain that was to pierce his body. He was beaten badly. Bible says 39 stripes. That means 39 stripes. When he was beaten, every stripes, when every stripes was hitting his body, the flesh was coming out. The blood was rushing out. When I see it, I see in this sense, even the soldier's face was completely with blood because of that blood which came from Jesus' body. He took that pain. He is the King of Kings, but his crown was not a beautiful crown. The most painful crown, I think the most painful crown what Jesus have taken. He tasted every pain so that you will be called righteous. You will be purified as we sung. You will be holy. You will be separated for God's purpose. And can you just recognize the love of the Father God? Can you just say thank you for Jesus' love? Can you just say thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping it to realize the depth of the love of the Father God? Man's understanding may not help us to know that better, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know the love of Jesus Christ. Just close your eyes right now.